is Lena Live. I'm Lena Mirmont, back with my show. And frankly, I deviated from my program because a very interesting writer had some issues with the changing the book, which I was very much looking forward to read and then to share with all of you. And therefore, we postponed this show until first week in September. And I decided to step a little bit away from extremely stressful, partly chaotic life we're all facing. Needless to say, with a very high temperature political environment which we are facing. And I decided to bring a little bit of a green note in our life to remind ourselves that we are dealing with environment. And that environment has to do not only with air we drink and with the water we sip. And I didn't make a mistake because I do feel that we drink our air. But also the purification, perhaps with the moments of thoughts which I choose to share today, purification of our thoughts, our ideas, and how really we making from one moment to another. There are some people having harder hardships, some people have perhaps a little less of a pressure, and hopefully the second group is helping the first one. And I couldn't find a better subject as Central Park of New York City. And it is somewhat a bit of a fantastically deceptive title because it's not only Central Park where one would want to walk and have all these pleasures of being in the center of one of the most incredible cities in the world, but also because it is about connections. And the connections which we are not sometimes have time to face in our everyday life, which I mentioned, not so easy these days, but have an opportunity to make on the fresh air and the space of our own thoughts where we can be in a tremendous privilege to do what we want, whether we can walk or we can sit down on a little bench which will have some little title of historic name. And from that little intimate activities, self-reflection and sensation of oneness, one can also join a giant events there, giant events of cultural, sport, and other nature. I like to bring a few historic facts of the park because I think it certainly deserves to be mentioned, and then I will connect to some other activities which are so unique in this park. Using my usual habit, which perhaps not great delight to my listeners, I will interrupt myself and I would jump into a little recollection, personal recollection, before I will be respectable to my listeners again and respectful to the history of the park. I remember once my very first experience in the park when I spoke minus zero English, and I was with my then very little son, who just immediately exhibited tremendous harmony with the energy of the park, beauty of it, and he ran so fast that I frankly thought that it will be It will take me some time to find him. So sure enough, I really couldn't, but little dog did find him, because little dog was charmed by my son's pants. And before I knew, he was playing with this charming dog, and I could not say anything to compliment the owner of this dog, with the exception that it was just a wonderful connection between little child, this charming dog, delighted owner, and myself, found myself quite displaced in one sense, because I couldn't speak, I couldn't really communicate on the usual language. And yet, I was rescued by the beauty of this wonderful communication, which was in the hands of this park, this little miniature theatrical experience which I had with this lovely dog and this lovely person. And that immediately made me feel very much at home. Then later on, I learned that the park has a tremendous history, which I like to share with you and to remind to some who I'm sure know about this. But it is quite stunning, because the history starts from 1857, when park was actually opened. And it was designed by number of people, and two of them happened to be a fundamental designer and creator of the park. One of them is Friedrich Low Olmsted, and the other one is Calvert Vaux. In fact, both of them also designed a Brooklyn's Prospect Park. So coming to the history of this, just in short, it had tremendous amount of challenges, because it had to be, of course, approved. And when Greensward Plan was finally in place, construction took place with a number of issues. And then finally, it was constructed, and it became as a national historic landmark in 1963. I do not really want to make a dissertation about Central Park, even though it fully deserves to have one. What I like to do is making connections, as I said. I feel that it is a green United Nations, because you cannot find a more variety of the most diversified people. And needless to say, choir of languages, to point out that age, temperament, interest really merging there so happily and so harmoniously. There are some visible and invisible emotions. By visible, I'm talking about some cultural activities, which, of course, well known with the Shakespeare in the Park Theater, of course, New York Philharmonic, and also Delacorte Theater. There are, however, some wonderful outside activities for everyone. And, of course, quiet areas with a playground for children. Sport took a tremendous home there. Sometimes very funny people looking, because you can see probably extremely successful, polished businessman who is dressed nearly with a tuxedo, and yet he has a sneakers, because he's smart enough to cross the park to his office instead of either driving, which is impossible, or taking a subway, which being underground instead of being overground. So the colossal mixture creates a fantastic fantastic exhibition about people's personality. There is an expression which goes, oh, this television is like an extension of my living room. Well, I believe that Central Park is an extension of all our homes, not only living rooms. I think even dogs have wonderful, sweet dreams because they know that the next day they will take a walk in the Central Park. I like to take a little pause for us to think what I just mentioned, a little historic points, reflect on that. And then before we'll go to my next green page, we will hear the music, which I cannot be any better extension to my conversation about Central Park of New York City, monument of wonderful green world. As I said, green United Nations. And all of this under such important human roof, which is our environment. And coming back, please join me with my walk through Central Park in New York City. It is particularly so important to have this green area. And touching again on the history, I was surprised to learn that one of the major idea, which was a preliminary step to create something like this, was the fact that people tried to escape noise, pollution, and whatever aggravation the city can create. And I was surprised to learn that people used to visit cemeteries because it is quiet, it's peaceful, and air is so much cleaner. So indeed, one of the inspiration for the park was a connection with planning and some graceful designs which cemetery would use. And another inspiration came from European parks. Of course, Europe has its traditions, and backyard would be a must for every apartment building. And Europe did not have such a well-spread concept of private homes, and apartment buildings would be more prominent. So the yard became a background, the background became a park, and then the park became somewhat the point of city centers. So the Central Park in New York City is almost like a conclusion, like an architecture of all thoughts and designs which human mind and imagination could express. And we certainly need to be very grateful to certain figures and personalities, in addition to the creators, which I mentioned in my first segment of the program. But I like to mention two others, is Robert Moss and Mayor of New York City, Fiorella LaGuardia. Robert Moss was very much with his passion for New York City, and he was giving a very responsible job to clean the park. And he took it much further than just cleaning. It was an organization. It was a planning of certain walks. It was certain changing of segments of the park where there is more personal sections would be corresponded to some playgrounds where dog had their own little land. So it was a very powerful presence and tremendous accomplishments on the part of Robert Moss. And under Mayor LaGuardia, park was actually united. Five sections of the park became as one huge statement. So after all of that being accomplished, park really started to offer tremendous amount of activities. In fact, I'm not sure that there is one left without attention. If anything, it's just adding to the life of the park. I would go to the extreme and I would say that there are certain things one can see in a park, in people's performance, in their skills and their interests and their fantasies, which you will not see anyplace else. And it's always public, it's always enthusiasm. And what I particularly love about being there is the fact that even if there is a performance of a high quality, the stage function literally disappearing, because the audience and performers becoming as one. Audience sometimes feel that they do perform as well. And this, to me, the most magnificent, most fantastic and memorable experience human soul can have. So I feel that because of the configuration of the park, It is filled with such mystery. It has such a curvature of the nature. It is almost unthinkable to create some kind of a planning. I'm sure in some shelves in the City Hall of New York City, there is a plan. But when you take a plan to be someplace there, it's only by certain schedule of events, because geography of the park is totally filled with spontaneity. My most favorite architect, Frank Gehry, probably loves to be there. This is my pure speculation. And the reason I became so presumptuous, because he's an unfinished architect. In fact, he stated close to what I'm trying to share with you that he likes whatever is unfinished more than something which is finished. And that what is so strongly expressed in the park, because the main character of the park is to take you to the next corner, to introduce you to another little garden, to have this lovely curvature of a narrow walk. It's always unfinished picture, a little unfinished mission. You never know where you're going to be next. And yet you're always in the comfort and in the beauty of the park. The activities there, which I mentioned before, quite incredible. From birding, boating, carriage horses, there is a sport activities which are incredibly well expressed all year round. Needless to say that marathon is finishing in Central Park of New York. The fact that it was built is totally overwhelming, because something like this could be created by Mother Nature very, very easily. And yet, it was in the hands of humankind. So we are very fortunate to have this connection between East and West of New York City. In fact, Park is parallel to Fifth Avenue, and whoever knows New York City knows that Fifth Avenue is a division between East and West sides. I cannot imagine a better unification between East and West, which expresses itself in Central Park. This park is filled with all kinds of people with their intentions in life. You can find some homeless people, and you also can see very homeful people. You also can experience very beautiful, subtle expressions between human and green world. As I mentioned before, there are some benches which have names of historic people. It's a well-known fact, I do not even need to pronounce the names, that many famous figures, historic, world historic people, spend their times in a park, made some decisions, personal realizations. It is a very lovely nest for the composers. I know you all thought that I would say lovely nest for lovers. Yes, they are one of the predominant members. But they are not the only one. And writers and composers are quite inspired with this, I would say, cataclysmic change between being in a city or their apartments and suddenly to find the magic and green gold of Central Park of New York. In a minute, we will hear another piece of music, which will be just as colorful as my description of this beautiful land. But I'd like to leave you with a thought. How it is important for all of us who lives in a city to have and to treasure such a fantastic statement, such incredible accomplishment on the part of human effort. And not to sound terribly political, but just sincerely and human, with a very strong concern for our environment, which is hurting, that this park should be a tremendous manifestation of how important, not only for our pleasure, but our survival, to have this appreciation and care for the green message. So on this note, we have a musical note, and then we will come back to our green note with my story about Central Park of New York City. Sounds like an organ. I cannot imagine more appropriate parallel in between organ of nature and organ and music. Organ is the largest music instrument, and we all know how incredibly historically important this magnificent instrument is for deeply religious people. It is a sign, and it is the best and the closest connection to the God for spiritual people. It's a source of deep pleasure with power of reflections. And being in a church, we always connect ourselves with the organ. We have this given connections, and they are sometimes dissipating from our life because we're forced to have quicker and faster connection with an internet. So sometimes we feel that our organ is our computer. It has probably close to the amount of pipes in the organ with buttons in the computer. I would not dare to compare. But what I would dare to say, that coming back to Central Park, it gives us this reuniting feeling with ourselves, that those moments which we can spend there, we certainly can treasure. Quick shift is quality shift. We are moving from perhaps intensely intellectual area of our work, from troublesome thoughts and fears of our mind, to the hands and the magic of the beautiful message of the park, which is always welcome us. It looks extremely powerful in the rain days. It's very bright and warm in the sunny days. Winter also brings some incredible crystallization of the sculptured trees. So for us, just to make these natural pictures, not necessarily with our cameras or our phones, But just to photograph those images with our emotions is a very powerful, perhaps I could say, meditating process. It would be so wonderful if more of us will make that special trip. We'll go to this habit of breaking the routine and start to think that the more we use our green world, the more we will have a desire, spontaneity, to preserve it. It is unfortunately today about the money, about the fact that we have less of a grants for some cultural activities. Yes, there is a taste of political preferences, but it is certainly very undeniable that there are measures in life which, if we will not take care of now, it will certainly hurt us even more later. Of course, our children will be in a situation of great pressure. And if this park will be more connected to their lives, and after-school program, which perhaps would be cut from the school, but then parent will take, or babysitter, or relative will take this child to the park and join other children in the playground activities, that will be just as a wonderful opportunity for the child to continue his or her life. It is a just as valuable form of education, which we'll call social skills. So this park is offering tremendous amount of opportunities. And if one will be equipped with imagination, love for their either children or member of the family, will use this park for certain purposes, which will go way beyond just recreational activity. It can be stretched, as I just mentioned, to some education. But going further, whatever we don't have enough time, or sometimes we cannot afford to do in everyday life, one can find in a park. It is so resourceful in various activities, from jazz to classical music. And I did mention some performances, activities which are taking place. Park is so resilient and so promising. It is so engaging and so seductive. I didn't even mention food. I didn't even mention drinks. And boating is so fantastic. So if we will put together certain elements which we are missing in our lives, and yes, being a little pedantic and put it on a piece of paper and say, what do we want to do for this weekend? Maybe Central Park of New York is the answer. I once had quite an incredible experience with a person who was riding his bike. I was frankly quite rude because I was so attracted to the bike that I signaled the person and I said that if you're not running in a speed and if you're not preparing for Olympics, could I speak with you? And she was nice enough. She stopped with a smile, even if she was perhaps swearing at me inside, but she was very graceful and fantastically built young lady. And I asked her about her bike, and she gave me the whole story about the weight, about composition of this bike. And I asked her if she owns the car. And she said, no, I don't. Many New Yorkers don't, but more and more have bikes now. In fact, there is a new business You can rent a bike. It's a bit pricey, but this is my next step to ride a bike in New York City. I will have that much more self-respect if I will graduate to these activities. But coming back to this lady, she had a very pretty name, Dina, and she told me that, in fact, it's quite challenging to have this bike ride because it's not flat. So you go a little uphill, downhill. Of course, uphill you have to work that much harder. Downhill is your reward. But mostly, she said, it is so picturesque. I don't notice that I'm exercising. And that is such an incredible thing. This is such a tremendous advantage because when you go to the gym, it's still somewhat monotonous, and unless you're absolutely a fanatic, and some people are, and I envy to those people. But if you can make your exercise that much more natural, adaptable to your style and to your picturesque excitement, then go to the park, join Dina, and her bike was just as elegant as any shoes I can find in New York City. I had another experience with a wonderful ice cream place, and that experience was particularly lovely because the whole family was joining a huge pot of ice cream, including the dogs. No one was thinking about some bacteria or some other consequences of eating together from one bowl. I believe Central Park air is the best vaccination against any vaccine. It gives us tremendous joy, energy, and certainly gives this very hard to find a word to describe, but perfume of liberation. Let's enter another little piece of music, after which I will conclude my walk and story about Central Park. Coming back to my walk, and thank you for your companionship. The last segment of my program, I'm going to have a little kaleidoscope. There are a number of short images which one can catch in a park. Sometimes they're funny, sometimes they're very serious because of people's different activities. I have to, again, include some of my recollections. And what comes in mind are painters, artists. They seem to be somewhat particularly magnetized by the park. They find these corners of certain angles, and particularly very transparent for them is the combination of the buildings, which are modestly appearing as a continuation of a high trees. And they always have this sensitivity to make the connection between the stone and the green leaves. And those images, sometimes when it's partly finished, have a little funny little strokes. We're going to listen to few episodes from music which will describe some of the images which indeed I found in the park. So let's hear about that first image. And that was fantastic quarrel of the birds. Now, I like to move to another image, and not to impose with my own names to it, but just to listen first and see what kind of picture we all can come up. That another little episode, which takes place every day in the Central Park of New York. And how wonderful that is. Peaceful with a little charming dissonance to it. That also takes place in the park, especially when you're looking on your left and you see a little couple which slightly arguing but has a hope to resolve the argument. And then you're looking on your right and you see beautiful, idyllic situation between the dog owner, and of course, dog owner looks exactly like his dog. For some reason, dogs and their owners look alike. So let's hear another little bit episode of music, which will describe another scene. And that sharp elegance also takes place in the park. Let's move on to another little image. And that's a beautiful dance. We all feeling somewhat dancing with the air at our own speed, at our own space, but we always feel movement. And that's so beautiful to be there, because if we don't want to move, park makes us to do so. We're doing another example, another little move. And I will leave it up to you to figure out what that one was. And after my short note, we're going to hear another charming thought, another charming twist. And before that, I would say, let's have a little drink on the air. There is a certain combination between wine tasting, wine taste, and air taste with the wine. Let's hear this in music. Certainly, this drink was very, very agreeable. And let's hear another little move, and perhaps that will remind all of us our little emotional twist in a park, and also bring some memories. Perhaps we shared something of substance with someone. And that was a wonderful jazzy thought. Perhaps someone visited a jazz concert or just finished that being in a park. With that thought, perhaps we can travel to another very enlightening experience and memories. But I also have to say that keeping this in a sunny, bright colors, there are certainly moments of reflection, and a park offers somewhat comfort and hopefully consolation to someone who is facing some sad, heavy emotions. And there are a number of people who sometimes don't feel enough comfortable to share it in words. So they join this park environment, and they're sharing their thoughts in their own rights. I call them invisible emotions. Let's hear another piece of music and see what kind of emotions that music can connect us with this beautiful place in the world, New York, and its Central Park. A little disturbance even to speak after such a beautiful piece of music and come back to my story. But in the same time, I feel that much more comfortable to speak out and to be pleased to say that this music just confirmed how many very profound, substantial emotional connections we can make with ourselves or with others, being in the Central Park of New York. It's important to remember also that when we are joining any kind of social activities, we always bring something of ourselves. I feel that in our times, it's becoming more and more difficult. People are somewhat frozen inside because of external information, because we have such an amount of unresolved issues. And perhaps in the history of humankind, we are faced, as I mentioned a few times before in my programs, we are facing with more issues now in terms of scheduling and in terms of processing those issues, more so now than ever before. Not to go in depth of a historic observation, but one certainly needs to understand that whatever we are facing with today was brought by yesterday, week, months, or even years before. So to accumulate all of this is a challenge. And different cultures, different traditions take this adjustment with their own keys for life. And we all need certain friendly touch sometimes. We always expecting to be understood if we need to be understood in a difficult moment. But unfortunately, it doesn't happen too often, or it doesn't happen often enough, because everyone has their own backyard with their own issues. And when I am in the Central Park, I feel invisible vibration of these merging issues which are dancing on the air, which are expressing itself in so many, many, many activities. But mostly important, I found that there is a great desire on the part of a people to express themselves, even if they are silent, even if they are quiet. There is a room for self-expression, and this is the most precious and the most valuable, irreplaceable qualities we have. I would say this is true personal democracy. Sounds a bit heavy, but sincere. I like to conclude with a few short episodes of music, perhaps couple, and I will just make a little comments after first one, then we will lead to the second one, and then we will crown our program with my final thoughts about the beauty and uniqueness of a Central Park of New York City. And with this peaceful note, I would conclude that it would be wonderful if it will be even more activities for the children. Maybe children's theater, maybe some children artistic work center. There are beautiful playgrounds, and socialization is just so, so remarkable with off pressure, and I just feel that if we will have that much more use, appreciation, and support for our green corners, especially because funds being cut from extracurricular activities of the school, we will give our children that much more gift of communication. Our children do not ask for much sometimes. If just take their hand and take them to the park and they have a few words and they know that they're not alone, that by playing with other children, at least one member of the family was her with him. This is just a heaven. And I hope that Central Park will continue prosper, continue to be that huge magnet for so many people of all generations, and especially children who are so eager to explore, to be part of this green world. And they're the one who will continue our mission of preservation of this world. I will conclude as usual with another beautiful piece of music. And after that, I will just say my usual little go by words and a little link to my next program. Concluding my program, I wanted to say that that was an extension of our program, which we devoted to Westchester County, which called Westchester Speaks. Certainly, Central Park in New York City is way beyond Westchester borders. However, I feel that this is a model for every county. And because Westchester happened to be extremely generous in its nature, it's a green world, which is indeed quite close to the city. I felt that it is very appropriate neighbor to all of us who lives in close proximity to New York and therefore has a privilege to visit Central Park. But I'd like to invite all of you who will have an opportunity to visit New York City to take a little break from the vibration and richness of the city and find your own corner, whether it is with entertainment, whether it's just with beautiful walk, perhaps a little sit down with your friend or family. But whatever activities you will choose to have in Central Park, it will be memorable and you certainly will want to come back. And that was your program, which Lena Life hopefully made it enough interesting for you to come back. And I will be looking forward to be with you in the beginning of next week with all my summer wishes, which are gradually dissipating, and with the new hopes. Lena Life, I'm Lena Mirmont. Goodbye.
Thank you.